So our first scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou have perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. And Psalm 86. Just verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. I'd like to talk with you this morning a little bit on the topic of anger. Seems like an unusual sermon topic, but I hope you'll bear with me. I'd like to begin by sharing this prayer from Mother Teresa. Dear Lord, the great healer, I kneel before you since every perfect gift must come from you. I pray, give skill to my hands, clear vision to my mind, kindness and meekness to my heart. Give me singleness of purpose, strength to lift up a part of the burden of my suffering fellow men and women, and a true realization of the privilege that is mine. Take from my heart all guile and worldliness, that with the simple faith of a child, I may rely on you. I'd like to share three short stories. Well, two are shorter. The third one is a little longer. On the topic of anger, and Mother Teresa has always been one of my great heroes. The first story I'd like to share involves a student that I knew. I spent 43 years working at North Central Michigan College. I was a mental health counselor, so I worked with students whose lives were broken in one way or another and tried my best to help them get back on their feet. So this is a short story about a particular student. And it goes like this. The ATM machine had refused his request for money. The message display stating he had already withdrawn the maximum amount allowable for one day. He was certain the message was incorrect, since he had not attempted any prior withdrawals that day. He entered his card a second time, only to have a repeat experience. In a fit of rage, he slammed his foot into the machine, walked into the bank and demanded assistance at withdrawing funds. The manager of the bank, having witnessed the event, refused his request and warned him that further attempts to destroy bank property would lead to a call to the police. His rage deepened. And the second short story. This was a short story from my own life. I'll be admitting things about me that you haven't heard before, but I think that are common to all of us. The story goes like this. It would be a quick stop. I was in a hurry. The bakery was in my neighborhood, and I was on my way to work. I was in luck. No one was ahead of me. I quickly picked out several pastries and headed out the door. For some strange reason, I found my car still running. In my haste, I had forgotten to turn the engine off. The keys were in the ignition. Any of you ever done that? The doors were locked. I was amazed I could do something so stupid. I slammed my fist down on top of the car, buckling the metal roof and creating a large dent. In today's scripture passage from Matthew, we see one side of the humanity of Jesus. And in the passage from Psalm 86, we see another side of the humanity of Jesus. He had his angry moments just like we do. Let's listen again to a portion of today's passage from Matthew. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked Jesus. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Am I the only one here who has ever stormed out of a house, or out of an office, or out of a meeting when someone said something we didn't like? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Did Jesus go out to the city of Bethany where he spent the night to rejoice or to calm down? Or perhaps to help him bring his own anger under control? And then this contrasting verse from today's psalm, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." How do we feel after reading about these two sides of Jesus? Relieved or troubled to learn of Jesus' humanity? That my Lord and yours and God can express both anger and love gives me hope that none of my own tirades have condemned me. Anger is a very human condition, isn't it? Now, this is a story about me. I had been working indoors in our first old house throughout the hot and muggy day in late August a number of years ago. The house had been built in 1877 in Petoskey, and as you might expect for a house that old, was in need of a variety of repairs. On this particular day, I had laid down a piece of carpeting in the closet at the foot of the stairway that led upstairs to our bedroom. It was a hot and muggy day, both indoors and out. Sweat was running down my body in a variety of places, and I wanted nothing more than to have the day's work over so I could shower and have a cold drink. My final task was to trim the bottom of that closet door so it would close properly. After I had installed the carpeting over the old floors, the door needed to be raised a bit so it would close. I imagined the simple job would be finished quickly and had taken what I thought were accurate measurements of the old door. In the measuring process, I discovered that solid wood doors from back in that era were amazingly heavy. I picked up the beastly door and lugged it out to my equally old garage, where I leaned it against the outside west wall, a safe place to work on it. Next, I fetched the sawhorses and laid the door flat on its back to be trimmed. Satisfied with my cut, I picked the heavy door up again and stepped back inside the warm and muggy house to hang it back into place. As luck would have it, and in spite of my measurements, the door was still too tall and quickly got stuck on the new layer of carpet. Exasperated, I detached the newly hung door and again lugged it out the back door to the patiently waiting garage. Once again, I leaned the still too tall door on the sawhorses and measured a second time, more carefully this time. My wet t-shirt started to stick to my skin. I practically had to drag the door into the house, as it seemed to have grown even heavier while waiting for me to finish my measurements. I'm hearing some knowing laughter. This time the door screws slid into the same comfortable holes and the door stood erect and at attention. I confidently reached for the doorknob and gently pulled the door outward. The door refused to move. It was still stuck in place. Once again, my cut had been too timid. The door was still too long. I felt my temper beginning to boil. Then I flew into a fury. I'm not sure how I got the reticent door off the hinges. What I recall was me almost running out the back door with the door suddenly feeling lighter in my grasp. I practically threw the innocent door into a leaning position against the west wall again, this time for a one-way trip out of my life. I walked, or did I run? I don't recall, into the garage and grabbed my sledgehammer. The next thing I recall was my first swing into the heart of the old door with the sledgehammer penetrating the wood like a warm butter knife slicing into a cold pound of butter. I pulled the sledgehammer out of the shattered mess and kept swinging until the old door was reduced to splinters. I stepped back from the mess I had created out of my rage and tossed the sledgehammer on the ground while walking back toward the house, sweat dripping into my eyes. I had let my anger take control of me, and in the process, destroyed what had been a perfectly good antique door. I'm not proud of this event, but I wanted to share it with you as an example of what blind rage and the resulting anger can do to us humans, even sometimes to commission lay pastors like me. The New York Times bestselling author Brené Brown, in her book entitled Atlas of the Heart, which, by the way, I highly recommend, Atlas of the Heart, she offers helpful insights on the topic of anger and other human communication challenges as well. Here are some of her observations about anger. Quote, if you look across the research, you learn that anger is an emotion that we feel when something gets in the way of a desired outcome, or when we believe that someone or something else is to blame for an unfair or unjust situation, and that something can be done to resolve the problem. She continues, anger is an action emotion. We want to do something when we feel it and when we are on the receiving end of it. Additionally, according to Charles Spielberger, an influential anger researcher, anger feelings can vary in intensity, from mild irritation or annoyance to my, at that time, fury and rage, like I experienced in my story that I shared with you moments ago. Anger is also a full contact emotion. Because it activates our nervous system and can hijack our thoughts and behaviors, again, as it did in my story earlier, it can take a real toll on our mental and physical health. Researchers explain that regulating and coping with anger, rather than holding on to or expressing chronic anger, is crucial for the health of our brain. It reduces psychiatric problems and other organs in the body. There is also an interesting biological component to anger. A substantial amount of research indicates that our propensity for anger and aggression is partially hereditary, but the specific gene locations have not yet been identified. In her later years, my own mother suffered from chronic anger that often affected her relationships with family members, her siblings, and extended family members as well. I tried my best to reach into Mom's pain and show her possible paths out of her self-imposed prison, but I never succeeded. Again, Brené Brown's capstone paragraph in her book section on anger may be the following takeaway. She wrote, anger is a catalyst. Holding on to it will make us exhausted and sick. Internalizing anger will take away joy and spirit. Externalizing anger will make us less effective in our attempts to create change and forge connection. It's an emotion that we need to transform into something life-giving, like courage, love, change, compassion, and justice. The subtitle of her book is Mapping Meaningful Connection and the Language of Human Experience. People need people to help give our lives meaning. I remember the old Barbara Streisand song, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Well, we all need each other. There is a reason why solitary confinement is the worst kind of a prison sentence. When Jesus began his public ministry, he was always surrounded by his followers. He sought solitude when he prayed, and even then, he preferred to have a few of his disciples nearby. He was, after all, human as well as divine. Brown concludes her section on anger with these three critical observations. Number one, anger often masks emotions that are difficult to name and or more difficult to own. Sometimes we get mad as a way of preventing ourselves from sharing feelings that will lead to a more healthy experience. Number two, just as an indicator light in our car tells us to pull over and check things out, anger is a very effective emotional indicator light that tells us to pull over and check things out. Number three, anger in response to experiencing or witnessing injustice, pain and struggle can be a powerful catalyst for change. But by definition, a catalyst sparks change. It's not the change. Jesus, in contrast, was the change. His anger, the catalyst for change. That's the end of my sermon. Are there any